clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us on SST, Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you the same. We're here for week seven. Week seven already. Can you believe it? I can't. Week seven NFL picks. It's here. It's time. The boys are here in town, sitting at a combined 40, 31, and 1 through 6 weeks. That's 9 games over 500 for all you guys counting at home. The guys keep winning, and we will keep on doing it. So joining us today, as always, Mark Shanlugan, Pat Boyle, and Cody O'Connor. Patty B, what's up, bub?
Cody, nobody cares what you did last week, all right? Everybody cares what you do week in and week out. It's a what have you done for me lately league, right? So when I go 3-0 2 weeks ago, I'm feeling myself, you know, I'm ready to rip through my pants with the old ooshka douche down low, and then you get a little too cocky, you go 0-3, and now you're left searching for answers. So we're looking to look to stabilize. I'm hungry. I'm motivated. And we're looking to turn that 0-3 back into a 3-0.
Ooshka douche.
Yeah, you know the old ooshka douche.
Do I know the ooshka douche? Hey-o.
You know, Pat, when people ask me, what's your favorite pick going into the week? I tell them it's the next one, because that's the only one that matters. It's the next one. So I don't care about my 2-1 last week, and you shouldn't either. Because, as you know, I'll be 3-0 this week, and that's what matters.
That's the right
guarantee. The Cody Wagon guarantee. Mark Shanlugan, you have any thoughts on these ooshka douches over here?
I just think they're both ooshka douches, to be honest with you. At this point, one guy is going pseudo Ginzo every week on us with that accent over there. He sounds nothing like that in real life, I promise you that. And the other guy promises 3-0 every week. And then off the record goes, I might go 0-3. So, Pete, honestly, going off last week, I think I'm going to take your advice. Normally, my over-under on teams selected during these picks are 8.5. Mm-hmm. This week, it's going to be much shorter. Five teams selected. That's it.
Wow. I'm so proud of you. And honestly, I love that. Pat, you have a question? You have a point to raise?
Yeah, what is this guy talking about? That's not how I talk in real life. Who is this guy?
What murder?
Boom, bada bing, bada boom. He's done. Get him out.
He's the best guy around.
What about the murders?
I don't know nothing about no murders.
What murder?
It's so good. Some memes will always live for this test of time, and that's one of them. That's one of them. Well, Mark, I'm proud of you. I can't wait to hear your picks. I can't wait to hear all. Wow, that was horrible English language right there. I just had a stroke. I can't wait to hear all of your picks. There we go. But let me recap real quick for everybody. I already said 40, 31, and 1 on the combined record. That's 9 games over. For myself, 3-0 last week. Hold for applause. It's fine. 3-0 last week, 11-6-1 overall. Cody O'Connor in first place overall at 12-6, but 2-1 last week. Pat Boyle at 9-9 after an 0-3 week, still sitting at 500. And last but certainly not least, Mark Shanlugan, 1-2 last week, 8-10 overall. So even that, Mark, one good week, and we're back on track. We're looking forward to it. So, Mark, why don't you kick us off? The newfound Mark Shanlugan. I can't wait to hear some of these picks. So, Mark, start us up, baby.
All right. Pick number one, just a two-teamer to start off for we got week seven picks here. Going to go with the Buffalo Bills money line at New England this week for leg one of this pick. New England looking like the worst offense in the NFL over the last 3 weeks, partly because of Daniel Jones was invisible last week. He didn't play, so I got to, you know, can't beat on the Giants too much there. But Bills should get back on track here. They won last week. It was a pretty embarrassing performance, if you ask me, offensively. But maybe this will be the get-right game for them going up into New England. It seemed to be the right for the New Orleans Saints a couple weeks ago. They went up there and absolutely blew them out after looking dead in the water on offense against the Bucs. And then leg two, going to go with the Baltimore Ravens at home against the Detroit Lions. I'd honestly be a little bit be concerned if it was a primetime game here. Those games seem to go any which sort of way, but just a 1 o'clock start here. I expect it to go in the way of the home favorite here. Baltimore, slight favorite at home. I think Lamar gets it done. As simple as that. Not too much analysis to go into it, except that Baltimore's home. And that's really it, Pete. I'm not going to overthink it this week. So we're going to go with those two at plus 100 for pick one.
There we go. Cody O'Connor, why don't you keep it going?
Would love to. Plus 100, Mark. Ballsy. All right. I'm sticking with that game, though. I'm glad you got to go to me next because I'm sticking with that Lions and Ravens game. I actually tend to agree, slight lean, towards the Ravens winning this game. However, I'm looking for a sandwich here with you, Mark, because I'm going to do two picks, same game, parlay, Patty Boyle, stealing it again, going back to the well. Lions plus 8.5 is the first leg. I think the line tells you this. I think the way the Lions have been playing, this is an evenly matched game to me. I could see the Ravens winning it, but I can't see them winning it by more than 8 points. Again, two evenly matched teams. Ravens still a little beat up in the secondary on their team. You know, they've got a lot of injuries they've been dealing with. Detroit's been getting it rolling. So Detroit plus 8.5 leg one, and leg two is the over in the same game at 38.5. Let me check my notes. Just kidding. 36.5. Reading isn't always the easiest. Over 36.5. Last week, stats showed me 12-2-1 to the unders. The no fun league is not going to let that happen. All right. So I think there's going to be a couple more overs this week. I don't know if I said unders or overs. I'm a little off right now. Unders 12-2-1. So I think there's going to be some points this week, right? So over 36.5, Lions plus 8.5. That gets you minus 115. I think you're going to see some points. Like I said, the Ravens are a little beat up. Injury wise, they are a good defense, but they're a defense that still does give up yards. The Titans were moving the ball. They almost took that all the way back as I was quite nervous that they were going to get the late cover there. And so I see some points in this game. So plus 8.5, over 36.5. It's minus 115. It's pick number one.
Pick number one. You know where the hottest game of the week is, right, boys? Let me take you.
Tampa Bay?
Let me take you to Soldier Field in Chicago, where it will be Tyson Bagent suiting up for the Bears against either Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell. And you know what they say? When either Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell get together with Tyson Bagent and it's the Raiders and the Bears, you know what they say? They say, throw out the record books, the Raiders! Look, this total cannot be low enough for me. I don't understand how you have the Commanders and the Giants, as bad as the Giants have been, whether it's Tommy DeVito playing or Vito Corleone playing quarterback for the Giants and Sam Howell getting sacked 87 times a game. Desmond Ridder, as bad as he's been in the Buccaneers, that total is even lower. Nobody's scoring points in this game. So give me, hold your nose, because here comes the cold water. Give me the under 37.5 with the Raiders and the Bears. That is right. The stink of the week. I want it. I'm buying it. I'm all in on this game. I don't see how the Bears score 20 points. And look, Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell looked decent against the Chargers. Brian Hoyer, I mean, is like a fossil at this point. Devontae Adams isn't even getting the football. He's ready to get traded. And the Raiders are, once again, they're a mess. They're a mess. And you look at the bright side for the Raiders, it's the defense. Max Crosby, this defense is like low-key one of the best defenses in the league through 6 weeks. Maybe at the end of the season we won't be saying that because their offense can't stay on the field. They're only allowing 327 yards a game. They're only allowing opposing teams to throw for 206 yards a game. This Raiders defense with that pass rush has been pretty damn good. So you know that they're going to bring their hard hats. They're going to look to get all over Tyson Bagent and this Bears offense that, again, say what you will about Justin Fields, never had a lot of talent around him. He is a very talented quarterback if he's got the right tools around him. He's got DJ Moore, but look, this is totally different. Tyson Bagent versus Justin Fields, to me, this should be like a 6 or 7 point drop off. So this honestly, like, I'm not a capper. I don't, my model has this at 35. Like, this total should not be 37.5. It should be lower. So give me the under. And that's it. And I'm not going to – when it's 24-20 in the third quarter, you're going to get caps. You're going to get all caps texts from me. I guarantee you that now. But mm-hmm. I'm in the under right now.
There we go. I think that's interesting because what you said about the Raiders there, Pat, I picked them up in fantasy as a defense this week, which feels like something we shouldn't have been doing. But the Badgett of it all, the Bears of it all, the Raiders of it all – Raiders defense gets after the quarterback. I mean, whether it's Max Crosby alone or the whole defensive line unit, the defensive back team kind of not that bad. I don't hate it. I mean, I always get nervous taking straight up over-unders. I just don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough in that department or just, I don't know. It just makes me nervous. And I love that you just did that because Cody just mentioned how all these unders have been hitting and now they're not going to hit. And Pat said, throw out the record books, the under. All right, my first pick. I'm going with a straight pick here as well. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks at home as bigger favorites. -7.5 here live against the Arizona Cardinals. So I bet against the Cardinals a few weeks now, and I kind of mentioned when they lost big to the 49ers. I said the 49ers don't play with their food. They just beat the Cowboys, did the Cardinals. But the Niners are going to take care of business, and that other shoe is going to drop for the Arizona Cardinals. What have they done since then in the last 3 weeks? They lost by double digits every single time after losing by 19 to the, I'm sorry. Yes. 19 to the 49ers. They lost by 14 to the Bengals. They lost by 17 to the Rams, the Seahawks coming off a loss. Another thing I mentioned last week, I love going for those teams that did not get it right the week prior. Some people say fade the public. Some people say, you know, fade the trend. Some people say this. I like to fade the week prior a lot of times. And this is one of those spots where I'm doing exactly that. Seahawks could not get in the end zone last week to save their freaking lives, even though they were in the red zone about 6 or 7 times. Seahawks are going to get in the end zone against the Cardinals. The Cardinals may still continue to put up a decent fight here and there. They still have some talent, but without James Conner, it feels even tougher for them to move the ball. Josh Dobbs is starting to get scouted up and played better against, like, again, 16 points, 20 points, 9 points in the last 3 weeks for the Cardinals. The Seahawks offense is too talented for them to go out and not score points. They're going to score a lot of points against Arizona. 7.5 doesn't scare me. And the icing on the cake, pregame.com. You hear me mention it a lot if you listen to this picks podcast. 77% of tickets on the Seahawks, 89% of the cash on the Seahawks. So I'll follow the sharp money. I'll follow my heart. And I'll bet the Seattle Seahawks -7.5 for my first pick.
All right, pick two. Again, another two-teamer here. Going to go with the San Francisco 49ers to bounce back against the Minnesota Vikings this week. Look, it's as simple as no Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins in a primetime game. If the San Francisco 49ers find a way to lose this game, I'd be absolutely stunned considering those two things. I know, Pete, you're a huge, huge believer in the Kirk Cousins in the non-1 p.m. window. And then pick two, I'm going to boost the Bucs up to +3.5 in this one. Slight favorites at home against the Falcons. Lost their last two games, I believe, but we're going to bump them up to +3.5 here. This is a game I think they win, and if they do somehow lose, I don't think it's by more than the field goal in this one. The Falcons just don't really impress me. So we're going to go with the Bucs +3.5 and the Niners straight up on the money line, -105, pick number two.
All right, my second pick, another two-legger, not the same game, but we're going to start with the Los Angeles Chargers, who I am going to buy up from 5.5 to 11.5. 5.5, we've talked about it in here. That is that Vegas zone that Bill Simmons likes to talk about, that kind of in-between number that I don't think they're very sure about. And while the Chiefs have been winning games, they haven't done it with that classic Chiefs fashion, especially offensively. They've been getting their stops. The Chargers are now coming off a tough loss in primetime. I think it's a good bounce-back spot. I think it's a game that you could see the Chargers sneak out because their backs are against the wall this week. They're 2-4, if I'm not mistaken. And if they lose this game to the Chiefs now have the head-to-head. And for all intents and purposes, the Chiefs just win that division because the Broncos sure as hell ain't doing it. I don't think anyone believes the Raiders are going to be the ones to dethrone the Chiefs. And if you get the Chargers to 2-5, with the head-to-head, that is a big uphill battle for them to climb. So I think they're throwing the kitchen sink, everything at them. So the more desperate team is kind of the spot I'm taking. I would like to take it on its own, but feel a little more comfortable buying it up to 11.5. Second leg, sticking with my overs trend for this week. I think there's going to be some points. Pete, you kind of alluded to it in your matchup. It's over. I'm buying it down to 37.5 in the cards in the Seahawks game. Seahawks put up points straight up. They are going to score points. The Cardinals secondary is no good. They get thrown all over. They can get run on. They are not a team who's going to put up much resistance on the defensive side of the ball. What I don't love is that this is a division matchup, and typically my thinking is division matchup, you kind of lean towards the under. However, this is not your prototypical division game. The Cardinals are not much of a threat, but I could see whether it be garbage time, whether it be at another point, they are a frisky enough team to at least hang around and linger in games. And to me, the only way they do that is by putting up points, because I am damn sure that Seattle is going to put those points up. So 11.5 for the Chargers. 37.5 is the total I'm buying down in the Cardinals and Seahawks. That's minus 118. That's pick number two.
There we go. Moving on to my second. Actually, no, I just jumped right over Pat. So Pat, I said, go fuck yourself, Patty B. Who cares about your second pick?
Pete, if you're ready, you can go right now.
All right. You're still wheeling and dealing over there?
Well, I'm having some connection issues. So, like, I've been trying to input these odds, and I'm getting nothing here. So give me 30 more seconds. You know, make your pick. I'll be ready.
You got it. No doubt. I almost must have subliminally known that you needed some more time. So let me go for my second pick, and it'll be my first teaser of the week. I'm kind of going to go the anti-Shanlugan on one of these legs here. Instead of buying the Buccaneers and busting the nut through a zero, I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons from +2.5 up to +8.5. Then I'm going to take the New York Giants. I'm throwing out the record book. The Giants from +2.5 up to +8.5. Again, standard two-leg, six-point teaser through the three, through the seven on both of them. As much as this is a bet on the Giants, which I do like to possibly win this game against Washington on Sunday, getting them +8.5 feels wonderful. Commander's been giving it up on defense. Their offense has been up and down with the chance to score some points here and there, right? Sam Howell's doing some things, sure. But this Giants team has to have had a little boost from that moral, I don't want to say moral victory because they lost in pretty debilitating fashion, but at least some sort of confidence boost for the Giants on that game there. They're +2.5 straight up. I would lean that way anyway. For 44% of the tickets, there's 57% of the cash in the Giants, so I like that leg anyway, but I love it at +8.5. On the Falcons and Buccaneers front, Falcons up to 8.5 against this Buccaneers team feels really good. One of the things about the Falcons this year, their defense has actually been sneaky solid so far this year. They're not a defense like they were in years past where they were kind of a sieve and just giving it up, uninspired pass rush. They are putting some pressure on the ball. They're doing some things. They haven't had the best of games in the past few weeks, but they've kept some games close. They've won some games this year, and all these games that they're keeping close, like the Commanders, the Texans in which they won, the Packers in which they won, those are the mediocre teams that they're really competing well against. The Buccaneers are in that bucket. Who's not in that bucket is the Lions and the Jaguars. Those two teams beat the Falcons pretty dang good. But these mid-tier teams or below mid-tier teams, they're not going to blow the Falcons out. They run the ball too well. And again, that defense for Atlanta has been sneaky solid. They've been just good enough to hang around games. They're only giving up 4.7 yards per play, which is actually, believe it or not, guys, it's the fifth best number in the NFL. So this Falcons defense is solid. The Bucs offense is not good enough to take advantage of them. And their offense is just good enough, even with the Desmond Ridder shortcomings, to hang around this game. I would lean towards the Falcons at +2.5. I don't love it, but I love them at +8.5. So this teaser, again, hitting those key numbers, going through three, going through seven, you get them at 8.5, you get the Giants at 8.5, and you feel great about this teaser. So that's my second pick. Falcons +8.5, Giants +8.5. Patty B, on to you.
Here we go. Pick number two. Same game parlay. How you doing? Back in the mix. And I'm going after Herbert. I'm going after the Chargers. A pick that feels oh so wrong, but at the same time, my mind is telling me no, but my body my body, and Justin Herbert's telling me yes. So give me the Chargers plus 10.5. And yes, contrary to what Cody is saying about how he expects the overs to start making a run now, I'm sticking with the unders. Chargers plus 10.5 and under 55.5 minus 115 odds. Here's some trends for you. A couple of trends for you real quick. Mark's shaking his head. He doesn't like that pick. I don't care. I don't care. How about that, Mark? How do you like that?
I don't even know what your pick is, to be honest with you.
He just didn't hear your pick. It's okay. Just keep going. Keep pushing, baby.
All right, here we go. So here is Patrick Mahomes, or here is Justin Herbert against Patrick Mahomes. 1-4 straight up, 4-1 against the spread. He's lost by 3, lost by 3, lost by 6, lost by 3, won by 6. So again, it's that 5.5. I feel like a lot of people just see the Chargers again in a primetime spot on Monday, fail to beat the Cowboys, fail to really do much offensively. So they're begging people to take Kansas City. Maybe this game finishes a 6 or 7 point, you know, game. So that's why I want to take the 10.5. And also because Brandon Staley's a loser, right? Him and Kellen Moore. I was so pumped for Kellen Moore to whip out the entire playbook and make Mike McCarthy look like a loser and a fat slob on Monday. And he still couldn't do it outside of the first drive. So once he ran out of his scripted plays, couldn't do anything. And the fact that Mike Williams is still hurt. I just, again, when these two get together, Herbie knows how to keep it close. And the Chiefs defense has been very good. Like, they've been actually great this year. They've been almost elite. Same thing, kind of the same argument I made about the Raiders. You don't really, you know, you think of Mahomes, you think of this offense. The offense has kind of been lackluster, and the defense has been fantastic. Chiefs have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're giving up less than 300 yards per game and 200 passing yards per game. So that's why I'm taking the under here. And again, the Chargers offense, as good as they should be, they will find a way to get 4th-and-1 at the 38, and Staley and Kellen Moore will go for it, and they won't get it. So, you know, I'm expecting them to go all-out aggressiveness again. Maybe it pays off one drive, but they're probably going to get 0 points when they're close to the red zone in one of these drives, if not two, on Sunday. But, again, I like the Chargers defense for this matchup. And, again, the Chiefs offense has been out of rhythm. They've been sputtering. They have failed to really build any kind of sustainable rhythm on drives. They're relying more on the run game to chew up clock with Pacheco as they are letting Mahomes sit back and let it rip, because Rashee Rice, he's developing into a nice receiver, but Kadarius Toney, again, is he healthy? Is he ever going to be healthy? Is he ever going to be a dynamic playmaker that we thought he was going to be on the Giants? Still left to tell. Sky Moore, you got to put him out on a milk carton on certain Sundays because he just seems to disappear. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, the same thing. So, they got Mecole Hardman back from the Jets. Maybe he'll go 8 catches for 100 yards. But there's a lot left to be desired right now about this Chiefs offense. So, and some other stats, too, because the Chiefs are coming off that Thursday night game against the Broncos. So everybody's like, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they'll have more than a week to prepare. Well, Patrick Mahomes on extended rest is not that great. Same thing with Andy Reid. Mahomes is 4-5 against the spread against this AFC West when he's on extended rest. So you think, all the times he's played the Raiders, all the times he's beat up on the Broncos, these matchups with Justin Herbert, you give him a couple extra days, you think they'll crush him. He's 9-0 straight up, but he's covered less than 500% of the time. And also, as a favorite of 7 or more against this division, which he usually is, Mahomes is 9-10 against the spread. So he doesn't cover a lot. So again, I'll take the couple extra points of the cushion because the Chargers will probably charge her, but I think they keep this within 10. And I just don't see, I don't see this being like a shootout. I just don't, like we have in years past. I think the defenses show up more so than they have. So Chargers plus 10.5, under 55.5.
Anybody else glad that he recapped the pick right at the end there?
Yeah, it helped out a lot.
You guys missed a ton there?
No, I heard a lot of the stats. I feel like I picked it up pretty much. You got the Chargers with some extra juice, and then you got the the under. Yeah, made sense to me.
For the record, I agree with that one. I do think it's an under game, and obviously I agree with the Chargers pick because I took it too. So
yeah, I agree with the pick. I just don't agree how we seem to blame everybody but Justin Herbert for the Chargers' shortcomings. But that's a whole nother discussion for another time.
Well, how about myself, Mark, just texting into the chat on that Monday night game and saying, Justin Herbert somehow just looks impressive, even when the team doesn't score. And then after that, he like blew 2 wide open passes to Keenan Allen, threw the pick to lose my fantasy game in the last play of the game, and just kind of was a disaster down the stretch there. And yet I walked away saying, God damn it. He's so talented. And yet they kind of stunk the whole time. It didn't make any sense.
I'll help
Pete,
you,
should
Mark.
Be in your doghouse the rest of the year for throwing that pick and losing you that matchup. But
ugh.
He missed multiple wide open throws too. Wide. So he doesn't get to just escape that. I'm a little more with you, Mark. You're not alone.
All right. Last pick. I've given you guys four teams so far. The three of you probably thinks that this pick only has one team, and that is the truth. However, there's not just one leg. For the first pick of this bet, we're going to go with the Seattle Seahawks money line. For plenty of the reasons that Pete said, Pete's taking them with just straight up on the spread.
Like a psycho, apparently.
No, not at all.
God forbid you took one game straight this entire year. Jeez Louise.
The Arizona Cardinals have been an absolute disgrace, losing by double digits the last 3 weeks. James Conner's still out. They've got, I don't know, a three-headed monster at running back. I couldn't tell you any of the guys playing back there, except for DeMercado, who I started in fantasy last week, and he got like three total touches. But then legs 2, 3, and 4, a nice little scheme game parlay. And we're going to go to the Chiefs and Chargers game, just like my man Pat Boyle over there in the Francis Tiafo U.S. Open getup. Going to go Patrick Mahomes, 225 passing yards. Justin Herbert, 225 passing yards. And then to cap it all off, give me the future Mr. Swift with 40 receiving yards. That will be Mr. Travis Kelce. So to recap all of that one more time, Pete, I know I just completely mind-fucked you on that one, which is my plan all along.
It worked good.
But we're going to go with the Seahawks money line. Herbert and Mahomes, 225 passing yards, and Kelce, 40 receiving yards, minus 110 for my last pick.
How does it lose?
How does it lose? When Herbert throws 224 yards and then throws a pick on the last play of the game, and then you really hate yourself because of all the smack you talked about Herbert every week for the past year and a half, and then you lose your bet and you put him in the doghouse forever.
How about 226 and then a swing pass that goes for -3?
Oh my God.
I honestly hope it does happen, but like I said, I don't see how this loses. So
unbelievable.
Yes, we're so back. All right, pick number three. I'm going with the big boys. Two guys, big boys. Two legs, both at -2.5. Bills -2.5, Niners -2.5. Do I need to analyze much? No. Will I? Yeah, it's my turn to talk. The Bills are playing the Patriots, and the Patriots are just awful. Like, they're just awful. And in a spot where you thought, this has to be it against Vegas last week, they still managed to find new ways to just show how pathetic they truly are. And it's unbelievable that a Bill Belichick coach team can look like this. But my God, they are bad. So I think the Bills are going to cover the 9 straight up, but I want to bring them down. And I do have a slight stipulation on this Niners pick, because we're doing our picks. It's Thursday night, and if the Niners aren't as healthy as I think they're going to be, I think CMC is going to play. I think Deebo Samuel is going to play. I might have to digress a little bit with the liking of this pick, but I'm going to stick with it anyway. -2.5 Niners, Vikings, primetime, Kirk Cousins, and he doesn't have Justin Jefferson. And that, to me, is such a difference maker. This offense just doesn't look the same. Shocker, when one of the best offensive players in the NFL isn't there, your offense isn't going to be as good or as efficient. Niners are now coming off a tough loss, kind of one that it's almost like it had to happen at some point in my eyes. And let's not sit here and act like they lost this game because Brock Purdy finally turned into a pumpkin. He led them down the field, and honestly, I think there were some questionable play calling and coaching decisions that led them to a 40-plus yard field goal instead of a potential 25, 30, 35 yarder if they run their plays correctly, if they manage that clock correctly. But sometimes that's what you get with Kyle Shanahan. It's a little bit of the good and the bad. But I think the Niners are just going to bounce back. I think Brock Purdy is still that dude. And if CMC is out there, I feel tremendous about having them at 2.5. So Bills -2.5, Niners -2.5, No, the Bills didn't lose last week, but it almost feels like a bounce back week for them as well. Two of the best in the league, and I expect them to show out. That's minus 122. That's pick number three. That one, really, how does it lose?
You don't know. You don't know how that loses. Last pick for me, Seahawks, -2.5. That is the first leg for all the same reasons that Mark said and everybody else that's going to have the Seahawks this week. I mean, God forbid they can get anything going in the red zone against that Bengals pass rush. This Cardinals pass rush is not nearly in the same league as Cincinnati, so they're going to have a lot of frustrations to take out. It's their first home game in literally like a month. So the 11th man, the 12th man, the 13th man, the 27th man, all the men are going to be ripping and roaring in Seattle. The Seahawks' home field advantage is going to be felt big time by Josh Dobbs and the Cardinals, who, look, for the first couple of weeks they were surprising some folks, right? I think now you're going to see a stretch of the season where they just get blown out week after week after week. So I think the Seahawks, with a lot of anger coming back home, they take care of business, -2.5. Second leg, Eagles +3.5. So Seahawks -2.5, Eagles +3.5. That's -119 odds. And man, if the Seahawks somehow mess this up, because I think the Eagles embarrass Miami on Sunday night. I think they destroy them. But all the turnovers that Jalen Hurts committed last week, and I get it, the Dolphins defense, again, is not in the same league as the Jets, and he's probably going to bounce back, and he's at home. But man, it's hard. It's hard to not want to throw the Seahawks in a play, and I had to. So this is the other leg that's going with it. It's the Eagles +3.5. You know, again, look at the last five offenses the Dolphins have played: Carolina, the Giants, the Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots, and the Buffalo Bills. Guess which game they gave up 48 points in against? The Buffalo Bills, the only semblance of an offense they've played in the last month and a half. So, you know, again, and even the Giants moved the ball down the field, put up 16 points. The Panthers scored two touchdowns on their first, what, two out of three drives? So this Dolphins defense isn't anything special. The Eagles are going to get back to doing what they do best, and that is running the ball right down your throat. Jalen Hurts, expect him to minimize the turnovers, get back on schedule, you know, not have the pass rush breathing down his neck, not have a great defense like he played against the Jets, not have good defenses like he played against in the last couple of weeks, the Rams defense with that pass rush. You get Jalen Hurts time in the pocket, he's either going to pick you apart, or even if things do start to break down and receivers are covered, he's going to take off and run. And I think this is a game Sunday night with the world watching, the Dolphins and their unbelievable offense versus the Eagles coming off of a bad loss against the Jets. This is where Philly flexes their muscles and say, yeah, let's not forget who went to the Super Bowl last year. So this Eagles defense, I expect them to be ready for the challenge. I still think Miami's going to move the ball as they've done all year long, but it's really about the Eagles offense putting a beat down on the Dolphins defense. You know, again, I think the Eagles can touch 35 in this one, and Jalen Hurts has been unbelievable at home in primetime games, 7-1-1 against the spread at home in primetime. And it's Jalen Hurts' revenge, right? Once again, because he's going up against Tua. As nice of a guy as Tua is, Jalen Hurts has something a little extra to play for once again to prove everybody, hey, I should have been the guy still at Alabama. And that's where we are. We finish off Seahawks -2.5, Eagles +3.5.
I like that idea, and I like it so much that it almost became my pick. I have two picks here that I'm not going to make, but if they both hit, I'm going to give myself an honorary 5-0. I also like the Eagles, Pat. I love that pick. I wouldn't bust the nut. I would just take a -2.5 just because all the things that you just said, I think they're going to go back to basics. So frequently when things go wrong for teams, they decide, wait, where does our bread get buttered? Let's do that. And their bread gets buttered from the run game, from dominating up front on both sides of the football. And that's where their advantage also lies with the Dolphins matchup. If the Dolphins and Eagles want to have a track meet, the Dolphins are going to win that battle, even with the weapons that the Eagles have, with Brown, Smith, who's due for a huge game after a couple really uncharacteristic drops from him a week prior. But the Dolphins win the track meet against everybody, right? But they don't win the grueling, tough man matchup that the Eagles probably will want to play after the loss last week where they got bullied by the New York Jets. That doesn't happen to the Eagles. I don't think they'll let it happen twice in a row. But that's not my pick. Also not my pick. the Cleveland Browns. None of us mentioned the Cleveland Browns. They're off this incredible win with no quarterback, and they dominated, and they looked great, and their defense is top tier. All this fun stuff. But that line is just fishy to me. You got Gardner Minshew. When he's an expected starter, he struggles, right? He does much better in the relief role. He does much better on short notice. You always feel like when Gardner Minshew, at the drop of a hat last minute, gets thrown into a game, he looks extremely competent. But in a lot of these games where he's the expected starter, the offense does not move the ball as well. And why do we expect them to move the ball so well against this Browns defense we're all hyping up so much? So as much as I wanted to just take the Browns -3, the line's just fishy. I'm flabbergasted. It's not 5.5, 6.5, 7.5. I'm really am. So that's why I'm afraid of that line. The line stinks. The Browns had a great week last week. They beat the Niners, and now they're -3 against the Colts. Yeah, it's in Indianapolis. That shouldn't matter. But to me, fishy line, stay away. I wanted to take the Browns. I wanted to take the Eagles. I like the Eagles more than the Browns, but this is the one I like the most, which is why it's my third pick. Going Los Angeles Rams straight up, -3 at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people like to mention when the team like the Steelers or the Cowboys are in LA that it's a pseudo home game for them, and that might be the case. But to me, it doesn't matter, because what's the famous Breaking Bad quote? He can't keep getting away with this. The Steelers can't keep getting away with being a bad football team and winning games. It doesn't make any sense. They're bottom 8 in the league in yards per play on a defensive side, and they're just as bad, actually worse. They're bottom 5 in the league in yards per play on the offensive side. So how does this team win? It's Mike Tomlin. It's a defense. Like, I don't get it. Their defensive pass rush numbers are also not even that impressive. There's a lot of luck that goes into some of these Steelers game. Yes, you can say it's toughness and coaching and Mike Tomlin. And there'll be a spot at a later week in the year where I'll probably take the Steelers in a game they shouldn't cover and they end up covering. But this one, not for me. The Los Angeles Rams are a much better team in all facets of the game than the Steelers have been this year. Steelers' defense is giving up yard after yard after yard, and they can't move the ball. The Rams move the crap out of the ball. They're due for a big-time performance, actually converting on that red zone possession, because Brett Maher has been a beast in fantasy football because the Rams aren't punching in opportunities. This is one of those weeks the Rams will punch in opportunities. Their offense is 10 times better than the Steelers. Their defense, by the metrics, are better than the Steelers right now. So I don't care about what we say. The D-line for the Steelers, this, Tomlin, that. Rams are better, and the Steelers can't keep getting away with this. Icing on the cake, once again, pregame.com. 77% of the tickets on the Rams, 85% of the cash. Just enough for me to double down on that thought and make this my third pick, Rams -3, and that's what we got. We're all on the Seahawks.
I don't know. I think in my pool I might take the Cardinals at 7.5 to cover it.
You didn't have the Seahawks or anything, right? But me, Mark, and Pat are all on the Seahawks in some fashion.
No. But I'm saying I might be against you, not in this picks, not even on DraftKings, but in my pool where I gotta make my 9 picks, one of them could end up being the Cardinals to cover that big number. We'll see.
I might just flip the Cardinals money line. Fuck it.
Do it.
Can we all give a nice golf clap to Mark for his third pick tonight?
I love that. That was my really favorite good pick of the year.
Well executed. It was just well executed. I almost like slid out of my chair. I didn't know what to do with my hands, but I sat here flabbergasted and pleased at the same time.
Now, I'm sure, as you guys know from last year, this will inevitably crash and burn due to one of those three legs going up in smoke on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I might watch your third pick closer than any of my three.
And honestly, what's crazy, Pete, the leg that may go up in smoke, it might be the Seahawks money line that blows 100%. Crushes this thing. So, look, we'll see. But yeah, man, technically five teams, but good luck with the logo on this one.
Yeah, no, you're not getting a logo. You're just going to get a blank space on your pick for that one.
FU instead.
So. I'm just going to put a picture of Taylor Swift, actually. Maybe we'll get some more clicks on our social media posts for once. Oh, guys. All right. What a day. What a time to be alive. Another week. I guess this Jaguars-Saints game started already. I forgot to put any bets in because I was late home from work. went right into dinner, right on the podcast. Not one bet on this game right now. Do I let it sit or do I chase some stupid live bet that will inevitably not hit?
Live bet the Saints money line.
No, don't do that. You're going to bet on Derek Carr to put up points after he's already down? That's scary.
What's the score right now? I'm shocked that Jack is only minus 175 right now on the money line being up 7-0.
Weird line to this week.
Well, it was the whole Trevor Lawrence, is he in or out situation.
He played. They went right down the field and scored a touchdown. I'm shocked.
They just fumbled. Saints have the ball back.
That's why the line is minus 175 at the moment.
That Christian Kirk, though.
Oh, Christian Kirk. He fumbled?
Yeah, I sat him last minute.
I'm going against him.
I didn't.
All right.
He's in my lineup in three spots. That's great. Good stuff, Pete. All right. Subway Sports Talk, Marshawn Lugan, Pat Boyle, Cody O'Connor. Week 7 picks in the book. Follow us at Subway Sports Talk on Instagram, TikTok, and X to follow along the picks. Place your own picks. See if you can do what we do. Maybe you can make a parlay at minus 115 with more legs than Marshawn Lugan. I doubt it. I doubt it. But maybe you'll try. That's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. We'll talk to you next week. NBA season. Knicks talk. Starting live this week coming up, Cody O'Connor and I with a wonderful NBA preview via NBA Storylines Draft. If you didn't listen to that, go listen to it. But other than that, I got nothing. Cheers.